Hold on. Oh, I guess I'm good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Very well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Vina. And before Vina walks away from the room, let's give Vina's staff and all the volunteers that make the convention such an incredible success. Without all them, we'd be sitting outside in the parking lot. So a huge thank you there. It's great to see everyone this morning. Great to be here in front of you guys. I do want to talk to you about a couple things before we get the presentation started. You guys all should have gotten a little slip of paper. If you didn't, the room captains in the back have them for you. So we're going to collect those in about 15 or 20 minutes here. And the purpose of those, we're asking how you find contractors, we're asking how you retain contractors, and if you prefer to pay your contractor by the hour or by the bid. The third question, we're just going to tally that up and say, okay, 70% of the room wants to get a bid, 30% wants to do it by the hour. That's just more for information for people. But the first two questions, how do you find contractors? What's your best way to find a contractor? Your best way to retain a contractor? Our team captains are going to take all your little slips of paper. By the way, you need to put your name on the back because we didn't leave room for your name on the front, but write your name on the back because they're going to take them back from you and they're going to judge them, and the person with the best first two answers is going to win two tickets to next year's OREA convention. So make it good and turn those back in. Okay. I also wanted to talk to you, as Vina said, I'm president of OREA. Really excited about what OREA is doing. OREA's got a lot of super good stuff that you don't even realize that we're doing. So I'd really encourage everybody at some point this weekend to stop by the OREA table, which is basically right out the doorway, straight out this front door here. Stop by the OREA table and find out what we're doing, because we're doing a lot of really cool stuff, and we have some stuff that you probably don't even realize because it's brand new stuff that we're offering that's a huge benefit to our members. So please stop by the OREA table and check us out. Talk to us about what we're doing. Talk to us about what we can offer to you. One of the things OREA is doing is on May 17th, 2023, what's that, 6 months from now, we are having our day at the Capitol, but we're doing it a little bit differently this year. Pete Fortunato is going to come and be our speaker for the day. How many of you guys know Pete? Know about Pete? Okay, so we all know Pete. We all know Pete has been doing this his whole life, is an amazing source of information, does some amazing deals. So Pete's going to talk to us all day. And it's not necessarily going to be about legislative stuff. It's going to be about how he does his business and give you a lot of good ideas about what to do and how to, basically he's going to come teach us how to be unemployable. So really encourage you to sign up for that this weekend. It's $87. If you sign up for this, on Monday it turns to $129. So best to sign up this weekend. Along with Pete talking to us, we are going to go over to the Capitol at 4:30 that afternoon on May 17th, and we're going to have a legislative reception with an open bar and tons of appetizers with all the Ohio House and Ohio Senate members. So we'll be hanging out with them for an hour and a half for a legislative reception. You'll get to be able to talk to your representative. We'll be able to show the representatives in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate that we're forced to be reckoned with, which is very important when we're trying to make our legislative efforts, which is what OREA's main purpose in life is legislative change. You know, support the good laws and fight the bad ones. So, and I think that's about it. So we're going to jump right into the presentation. Again, excited to be here with you guys. Excited to be here all together. So, we're going to, as Vina said, we're going to be talking about contractors. I got to do my disclaimer because I'm not providing legal or accounting advice. You guys all know the disclaimer, right? Talk to your attorney. Talk to your CPA. Don't take it from me, because I'm not. You come back and say, "Oh, well, Jeff told me this." No. Go talk to your professional. I'm neither accountant or attorney. As Vina said, I have found some good ways to make the business work a little bit better. It does take multiple, there is no magic bullet to this. I'm not going to say, hey, go do this one thing and you'll have all the contractors you've ever wanted. It's a lot like work. So that's as Vina said, you know, finding, screening, hiring, managing, firing if you need to. So I'm hoping this is not your roofer dude. I'm hoping your electrician is not doing this kind of work. And I'm hoping your carpenter's table saw does not look like this. And finally, I'm hoping this is not your siding contractor. This is his pick. Yeah, so. Okay, so something I want you to consider before we get into the meat and potatoes of the presentation is, I have a lot of friends that, you know, they see a house that's $40,000 and they're like, wow, this is a great deal, I'm gonna go buy it today. At the same time, there's another house down the street that's $55,000. That $55,000 house is fully rehabbed, ready to put a tenant into there, maybe ready for you to put some final touches on and flip the house. That $40,000 house needs $12,000 of work. You're estimating, which turns into $18,000 of work. You might be money well ahead to spend an extra $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 on buying that house that's a turnkey than buying that house that needs, you know, what do? When you walk in a house and you look at it, well, I need to put in new cabinets. Well, then you find out, oh, well, no, I need this, 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 and this, and then you tear out that wall and you say, okay, need a new wall, need a new floor. You know how it goes, right? It's never quite as easy as it looks. So again, it might be money well spent just to spend a little more money on that house that's ready to go than that house that's far from it. So finding contractors, this is our first topic we're talking about. And then we have to think about, it's not just finding contractors, it's contractors we can work with, right? So I tend to be a very positive person. I don't like being around negative people. I don't like being around people that waste my time. I like to deal with honest people. So that's kind of some of my criteria. You all got to choose what your criteria are. But I want to work with people that I'm comfortable and happy working with, and people that don't bum me out, right? You know, like nothing worse than going and talking to your contractor in the morning and then you walk away from talking to him or her and you're like, man, that's a drag. You know, I want to work with people that want to do what they're doing and are happy doing what they're doing. So, okay, so there's two ways, as far as I'm concerned, there's two ways. And when I say contractors, I'm pretty much refer to them as IC, independent contractors here, going forward. So when I work with, to find independent contractors, there's two ways you can go about it. You can build your own independent contractor, and we're going to talk about that, or you can go out and find one that already exists, that's already in business. So to build your own independent contractor, you go out and you talk to everyone you know everywhere you go, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's Bureau of Motor Vehicle, whether it's Walmart, wherever it is, whether you're going out to eat, you go and talk to everyone you know and you say, hey, I rehab properties. I'm looking for people that are interested in working on properties. And you start a conversation. If you find someone that's interested, you talk to them more about it. So what are you looking for when you're building your own contractor? You're looking for someone that's handy, has some experience working on houses. Maybe they can even pass a tape measure test. You all know tape measures are divided into, an inch is divided into 16 parts. So they should be able to, you know, 1/16, 1/8, 3/16, 1/4 inch, 5/16, etc. You should be able to point to one of those 16 lines and they should be able to tell you, oh, that's 5 inches and 9/16. If they can't, they're probably, you know, if they can't read a tape measure, that might tell you something. So offer them work. You know, you've got to decide. So what we're finding right now in Northeast Ohio is we're paying contractors anywhere between $12 and $35 an hour. Is that the range you guys are at? Depending on their skill level, depending on their ability, and also depending on what they want. So that's, you know, if you're talking to a very basic person, you might offer them $12, you might offer them $15 an hour. If you're talking to someone that's been doing it for years and can really knock the work out, you may be looking at $25, $30, $35 an hour. So, but now we're talking about building a contractor, building your own. So they're probably not going to have workers' compensation insurance. That's a very important thing for all contractors to have, is that workers' compensation insurance. So you need them to get that. They get that by calling the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. You cannot buy that privately in Ohio. They have to go through the state bureau. Yes, sir.
Is that required if you are only hiring them as a 1099?
That is absolutely required. So there's a lot of myths out there about that, or urban legends. So a lot of people, and even insurance agents will tell you this, that if they have liability insurance, they're covered for any injuries they receive. And I will say that's false. Liability insurance covers them for damage they did to someone else, not to themselves. So the general liability insurance is going to cover them if they break a window while they're putting siding on the house. That's going to cover replacing that window. If their scaffold falls down and injures someone walking by, that's going to cover them. That's what general liability covers. It covers damage they did to someone else or someone else's property. It's not going to cover them for a personal injury. So if they fall off that ladder and break their hip, and they don't have workers' compensation insurance, then they're not medically covered. And chances are, if you're the guy with bigger pockets, they're coming after you for that money. So when we build a contractor, they're not going to have workers' compensation insurance. They're just not. It's a pretty easy thing to get. Again, you just have to call down to the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. So you put in an application with them. It's $120 to put in an application. Depending on what that person's mod experience is and what their payroll is a year, if it's that single guy or gal who wants to make $30,000 or $40,000 a year, it may just be hundreds of dollars a year for them to get it. They will get a certificate that shows they have workers' compensation. They will also get an ID number on there, and you can call down to the Workers' Compensation Bureau and check that they do indeed have it by using their ID number. So we give them a week to get that. Again, it's a pretty easy thing for them to get. Once they've gotten one check in, we're like, hey, work all week, make yourself hundreds of dollars, you'll get a check at the end of the week, go buy it. We want them to acquire general liability insurance within 2 weeks. We'll talk about limits, I think, in a minute here. And then we're giving them a month to acquire a better set of tools. So while they're in this period of getting this stuff, we want them to work with one of our experienced contractors who actually likes to work and mentor other people. You'll get contractors out there who want to work by themselves, and that's not a good guy to pair your new person up with. And during that time, also, we're also getting comfortable with that person. We're making sure that we're happy with them. So it's definitely, this method is a lot harder than just looking someone up in the phone book or finding someone at Lowe's who's already doing it and saying, hey, come bid on work for me. But it can pay off huge dividends for you, because this is someone that is probably going to be a lot more loyal to you. You've helped them start their own business, build their own business. You know, they may work for you for years. They may work for you for a couple of years and then go off and do it on their own, but then they may come back to you and do jobs for you. So I think it's a very good method. We use it a lot. So the other method, again, is that existing independent contractor out there. So that guy or gal should have all their own tools of the trade. They should already have their general liability and their workers' compensation insurance in place. And they should be able to provide you with a good list of references, including that bank that you can call and verify that they do what they say they're going to do and that they are who they are. So getting a bid from them, they should be able to get a bid from, you should be able to get a bid from those folks without helping them on that. You should be able to provide them with a scope of work, and they should be able to take that scope of work and bid on your job. It should be a no-brainer. They should be able to get the job started without needing any money up front. This is my rule. This is Jeff's rules. You all do what you want, but never, ever, ever give a contractor money up front. I don't care if it's an HVAC contractor and he says, putting in a new furnace for you, okay, I need you to give me $1,000 up front so I can go buy the new furnace. No. When they ask me for money up front, I ask them how many years they've been doing this. I've been doing this 25 years. Okay, in 25 years, you haven't built up any bank. So if they, you know, I'm not going to give them money up front. That's just, I mean, I'm steadfast about that, because that's just a recipe for disaster. You pay someone up front, they're already paid, they're not coming back. That's how I feel about it. So they should be able to pull all the permits you need. They should be able to provide you great references. But the thing that I want most, a lot of these guys, they'll pull out their cell phone. They're like, oh, let me show you these pictures of this kitchen I just built or these cabinets. I'm like, no, I don't need to see that. I really have no interest in seeing that. Because how do I know who did that work? You know, they could have walked into a house and taken pictures of that for all I know. I want to go see their job in progress. I want to go see what their job site looks like, how clean they keep it, how they work on a current job. So how do you find them? So to me, this is one of the fundamental ways that you find the contractor. So everyone's looking for contractors. Vena identified that. Everyone's having a hard time finding them. So I say what you do is you gotta look for them well in advance of needing them. So if you need a contractor that week and you're looking for them that week, you're way too late. So when you go to buy a house and they say, guess what? You've got the winning bid here on this house. You're the buyer of the house. Well, you probably got about a month to close on it, right? Maybe quicker, maybe longer. That's the time you need to be lining up your contractor. So when you, and we'll talk about this a little bit further later on, but when you're walking through that house deciding whether you even want to put a bid on it, you should be doing a house inspection. That house inspection should be detailing everything that needs to be done on that house, because otherwise, how will you know whether it's a deal or not? How will you know that paying $50,000 for that house that needs $20,000 of work and has an ARV of $128,000 is a good deal if you haven't done your house inspection? So now's the time. As soon as you're told that you are going to be the new owner of that house, it's time to be lining up your independent contractors. And so the way that works for me is to have a constantly updated Rolodex of contractors. So there's lots of ways you can do that Rolodex. You can do it the old-fashioned, actual paper Rolodex that spins around on your desk. You can do the business card scan and store system. You can put it in an Excel spreadsheet. I use an Excel spreadsheet. You can do it in your phone. You know, there's probably other ways I don't even know about with all the technology these days that you can do that. But the whole point is start building yourself a Rolodex of independent contractors. Start putting the ones you already know, and then start going looking for a bunch more. So when I put these contractors in my Rolodex, I'm going to score them between 1 and 5. 1 being the highest score, 5 being the lowest score. And that score is going to go in front of their name in my Rolodex, because that's the most important thing to me, is the score that I've assigned to them. So what am I looking for? I'm looking for attentiveness, professionalism, accountability. I'm very much into punctuality. I believe that punctuality makes the person. I believe that a person's word is their bond. And if you can't stick with your word, I don't know, that's just me. Everyone has their own thing, but my thing is punctuality and doing what you say you're going to do. That's kind of my life creed. So I don't tell it, when I have a contractor who's going to come and give me a bid, I don't say, you know, I'll be there all day. Why don't you just show up whenever? Or come between 9 and 9:30. No, I say, can you meet me at the house at 9:15? And then I'm there at probably 5 after 9 at the latest, and I'm watching what time they show up. If they get there at 9:25 and don't say anything to me at all, that's telling me something right there, right? So each one of these attributes is equally important to me. So I average their score, and over time of working with them, their score is going to either improve or decrease. Okay. So how do we find these? So you guys all heard about driving for dollars, right? Looking for your houses. Well, I call this driving to spend dollars. So when I'm driving around town, I am looking for rehabs in place. I'm looking for dumpsters. I'm looking for contractor vans. When you see these signs, you need to approach that job site with respect and discretion. You can't just come blowing up onto the job like you own the place, because that may be the owner that's there, that may be the contractors there. But you can do that with discretion. You can walk up there and say, hey, Jeff Frickerman, introduce yourself, look the person in the eye, shake their hand, tell them what you're about. If it's the owner, you know, maybe you can hook up with them on future projects. Maybe that's another person in your town who's a real estate investor. And this business is all about networking with other people and building relationships. So maybe that's a relationship you just built if you've met the owner. If it's the contractor, say, hey, you know, I'm doing a project down the street here. I'm looking for someone to help me with drywall. I'm looking for someone to help me with plumbing. Are you interested? Are you looking for work? If they say, yeah, we can talk about that, then say, hey, do you mind showing me around what you're currently doing? So go see what their job site looks like in progress. That's a great first meeting. Make sure you walk away with their business card. Make sure you walk away with what trade they do. Make sure you walk away with their phone number. So that would be an example, right? That's a contractor van, right? Undoubtedly. Yeah, we spied one out. We go talk to that person. Then you got the early morning meetup. So that's go down to your Lowe's, your Home Depot, your plumbing house, your HVA house, whatever it is that you're where you need materials from that day. You're going to go down there when they first open, 6 a.m., whenever they first open their doors, and you're going to look for contractors, right? How do you find a contractor? That's pretty easy, right? Everybody should know how to find a contractor. That should be pretty obvious. And even if it's not a contractor, there's nothing wrong with you having a conversation with them. So start a conversation with them. Really easy, real casual. Just, good morning, how's it going? What you working on? Hey, you looking for work? Yeah, people don't mind you talking to them. Don't be scared talking to people, because they absolutely don't mind. I've never had anybody tell me to go away and leave them alone. And then again, always walk away with their business card, their name, their number, what type of trade they do. And that goes into your Rolodex. And just because that guy, on Wednesday, I was at Lowe's, and I met a general contractor down there, and I asked him how it's going. I introduced myself to him. Said, what's your workload look like? And he says, I'm booked all the way through the end of January. Well, that's not a no to me. That's telling me he's available in February. So let's put that guy in our Rolodex, and let's keep him in mind. And then seeking them out, you're always on the lookout for contractor vans, contractor trucks. At the very least, take a picture with your cell phone, get their name, their number. So you can give them a call in the future. My wife is constantly sending me pictures of the doors of contractor trucks. So, you know, then I can call that person, have a conversation with them. Again, just because it's a roofing contractor and you don't need a roof put on currently doesn't mean you don't want to record that number in your Rolodex, because you never know. You might buy a house next week or next month or in 3 months that needs a roof. So let's make sure we record them all. We're basically... Yes, sir.
With respect to the roofing, you don't need one right now. You go ask them to go out and see their job site while they're working on that job.
You mean go to their job site?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd like to go look at the roof they're putting on. And with the roofer, it's pretty darn easy, because you can look at a roof from outside, right? You can say, okay, did they do the tabs right? Did they line it up? Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely want to go and look at their work for sure. I want to make sure that they have a clue of what they're doing. And you can also tell that by how they conduct, like, is their ladder set up right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. When you're doing this, you pretty much need to know how to be a contractor yourself. You need to know, like, if you're not that familiar with doing contracting work, you should go attend your RIA group's hands-on rehab class and learn how jobs get set up right, because you want to make sure your prospective contractor is setting up the jobs right. So best practice would be go talking to those people. Again, people never shy you away. I've never had a bad experience approaching people, as long as you do it with respect. Always trying to walk away with the phone number, a name, a general impression of them, what type of work they do. There's another contractor, right? That's the gentleman I talked to on Wednesday at Lowe's, who told me he was booked through January, through the end of January. Again, I mean, it's not hard to figure out. I mean, and a lot of times these trucks don't have a name and number on them, but they got ladders up on them, right? Or you can tell, it's pretty obvious it's a contractor. So just go talk to that person. And then there's attending your RIA group. Of course, I hope you all belong to a RIA group, because that's so important. I mean, you all belong to a RIA group.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, so that's so critical. You know, that's a great networking space. That's a great space to meet other people that are doing what you're doing, and folks who, you know, like-minded folks. So you're going to go to all your networking sessions, and you're going to talk to people about, hey, do you know any good contractors? Or maybe there's contractors there you can talk to. Maybe they're going to point you in the right direction to finding some contractors for whatever it is you're looking for at that time. Talk to your vendor members. You know, go talk to, if your vendor members have tables set up there, or they stand up in front of the room and say, hey, I'm Jeff, I do HVAC work. Go talk to that person. Again, you may not need HVAC work done that week or that month, but go talk to them. Get their business card, get a feel for what they do, get a feel maybe for what they charge. Hey, generally, you know, a 1,200 square foot house, what are you charging to put a furnace in? You know, try to start, begin building a relationship with them and get them in your Rolodex. Go to your focus groups, like your housing provider focus group. That's the topic of finding good contractors is going to come up often there. So, and then identify the movers and the shakers in your group. Those people, it's probably 10% of the members of your group that are doing the most rehabs. So go talk to those people, build relationships with them. Again, it's all a relationship business. It's all helping each other out business. And I've met very few people in the business that aren't willing and interested in helping other people out. Ask your insurance agent for a list of the contractors they insure, and then go talk to those contractors. Ask all the insurance agents in your RIA group for the same thing. And then go and talk to the contractors you currently know, you're currently using. You know, there's that rule of good people hang out with each other, good contractors hang out with each other. You know, make sure that you're, that's a good jump, is if you already have a good carpenter, ask that carpenter if he knows an electrician, ask that carpenter if he knows a plumber. Chances are you'll have really good results from that. Again, ask the trade houses you deal with, what contractors are regular customers of those, and also ask them, you know, how much supplies they buy in a month. Are they on time with their bills? They may or may not want to tell you that, the last question, but they may want to tell you that. And you want to be dealing with someone that's financially stable and solid, not someone that's about to go out of business. And then ask your realtor to provide you with a list of contractors. So go on the Better Business website, Better Business Bureau website. They not only have lists of contractors on there, but they also review those contractors according to what their Better Business score is. The ones that are advertising on TV are probably the ones you want to pass on. Those are the folks that are probably going to charge you $6,000 to $8,000 to put a furnace in. You probably don't want those people. That's been my experience. Oh, I'm sorry. Look up the contractor. Yes, sir.
The Better Business Bureau one. Have you ever had any issues with sometimes Better Business Bureau has the preferred member on there for their members?
Yeah, I kind of stay away from those. I mean, I'll talk to anyone.
Yeah, the preferred member, sometimes they work out all the issues.
Yeah.
Reported.
Right, absolutely. You're correct about that. So, I mean, I'm going to use my best judgment when it comes to that. I'm going to talk to that person, try to meet with them personally. And, you know, you talk to a contractor for 5 or 10 minutes, you get a pretty good feel for what kind of a character or what their character is. So, yes, ma'am.
You ever had on the Better Business Bureau where they changed their name? And so, like, I always look for how long they've been in business.
Exactly. Or if they've gone bankrupt, you probably don't want to be dealing with someone that's just gone bankrupt. So, yeah, those are all things you need to look out for. Look up the contractors in your town. You know, just go through, look them up. Everything's online these days, you know. So look up contractors in your town. Try to have a conversation. Call that business and ask if you can talk to the owner. See if you can strike up a relationship with them. Yes, sir.
What's your opinion of like Angie's List, Thumbtack?
Angie's List, I've never had much success with Thumbtack. I mean, a lot of those things, I feel like they want way too much information before they'll give you. Like, you have to fill out all this stuff. I think that's way too much. We're going to talk about the online ones in a minute here. I've never been too impressed with them. Look up the trade groups like the American General Contractor, American Builders and Contractors that may be in your community. See if they can provide you access to their membership list. And then join local groups in your town, whether it's Toastmasters or whatever it is, your community business. Whatever it is, Join those local groups. Become an active participant in your community. That's not only good for you, it's good for your soul, but it also helps get you hooked up with the movers and the shakers in your town. So get involved in your, if you're going to be part of your community, if you're going to be rehabbing houses in your community, become part of your community. Okay, so you can find contractors in Google Maps, right? Have you guys, any of you guys ever tried that? If you say, bring up Google Maps and say, find a carpenter near me, it's going to bring you up a whole list of carpenters near you with their name and their phone number. These are the online websites that this gentleman was just talking about. So, give them a try. You can search in Craigslist. You want to search under services and then skilled trades in Craigslist. We've had some success with Craigslist. We also advertise on Craigslist, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You guys all got those? Okay, so there's more. Contractor.com, my cousin used those. I think she's had relative success with Contractor.com. But it's just like anyone. You know, you got to interview that person. You got to make sure that person's who they, represents themselves well and is going to do a good job for you. And again, I'm sure there's a whole ton. I mean, I'm sure you could probably list 5 or 6 pages of online places where you can find contractors.
Can you go back one screen?
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, sure. What's the time, Jackie? Got it?
No, that's one.
Oh, one more?
Yeah. I didn't get into that.
No problem.
Let me just take a picture.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So, and then you can advertise on Craigslist. We're currently advertising on Craigslist and LinkedIn. Talk more about this in a second. You can advertise in your local newspaper. That Penny Saver newspaper, you know, the ones that have all the, that they put in your mailbox, you can advertise in there. It's pretty cheap to advertise there. Bulletin board. So, you know, your local convenience stores, your grocery stores, office supply stores, most of those places, wherever they have bulletin boards, maybe you're already using those bulletin boards to advertise your for rent properties. Well, advertise on there. You're looking for contractors. You know, do the sheet of paper with the little pull-off tabs on the bottom with your phone number on there. Looking for contractors. And put them up. Facebook. So if you have, I'm not much of a Facebook guy, but if you have a lot of followers or friends on Facebook, and you don't even have to advertise. You just say, hey, I'm working on this, you know, when you do your post, you say, hey, I'm working on this house and looking for contractors. Well, that stuff's going to get reposted, right? I know people that get a lot of traction from that. It's not me because I'm not much of a Facebook guy. But so bandit signs, just like you do a bandit sign for We Buy Houses, you can do a bandit sign for We Are Looking for Contractors, We're Looking for Workers. We're going to show you an example of that in a minute. And paying referrals, just like you would pay someone a referral if they said, hey, here's a house for sale, why don't you go check it out, and you end up buying that house. If someone says, hey, here's a good contractor, and you end up hiring that contractor to do work for you or do a bid for you, and he does the work for you, pay a referral bonus to that person that sets you up with it. Give them $25. Give them a gift certificate to a restaurant, whatever you want to do. And then go ask your local building department. So if you, and you should be, have a good relationship with your town's building department. That's a really important place to have a good relationship with, because you don't want to have a bad relationship with those folks. So maybe you know those inspectors by first name. And then you go up to them and say, hey, Jack, what do you think about so-and-so contractor? Or do you know anybody? They're really not really allowed to tell you, well, that guy stinks, he's absolutely horrible, he doesn't do it. But if you just pay attention to their facial expression when you bring up the name, that's going to tell you all you need to know. There's our bandit sign. We put it in front of houses that we're working on. So, looking for independent contractors, rehab houses, got our phone number on there, which is my phone number. If anybody wants to call me, you're welcome to. I enjoy talking to people. That gets us a lot of people. It really does. Like, so on that side, we say help wanted. On the other side, we say contractors wanted. You'd be surprised how much. You do have to weed through some stuff, because you get people calling you who really would never be a contractor or want to be. But we get a lot of good results from that. So this is a Craigslist ad. So it costs us $25 a month. I'm in Alliance, Ohio. Our closest Craigslist is Akron, Ken. The next closest one is Youngstown. So we advertise this. We pay $25 a month to run this ad on Craigslist. It goes under skilled trades. And basically says looking for work, pay by the job, pay by the hour. It's a contract work. You know, are you looking for work? That's at the first of the ad. Currently looking for independent contractors to work on residential properties. Must have your own tools, must have your own liability and workers' compensation insurance. All kinds of different tasks to be done. They're not limited, but not limited to laying floors, scraping, sanding, caulking, painting, interiors and exteriors, installing doors, generally carpentry, repairing plaster, patching holes, finishing, demo and cleaning. We're also looking for laborers to work on houses, guarantee pay every Friday. We turn derelict houses into beautiful homes, have skills, want to learn more skills. Why don't you give our team a try? Yes, sir.
How does this work for you?
It works really well. We end up with about 20 calls a month, and we end up with two or three contractors a month. Now, do they all stick around? No. And again, I remember I was talking in the beginning about you want a contractor who's congruent with the style you work in, the way you want to work. So if you end up with that guy or gal who's always angry, you're probably not going to continue that relationship. If you end up with that person that's doing sloppy work and you've had a conversation about that, you're probably not going to continue that relationship. But it does feed us a steady fee. I mean, again, it's $25 a month to do this. I think it's one of the best advertising methods out there is putting it up on Craigslist. A lot of people pay attention to this. You know, we're talking about the scarcity of contractors. One of the things for us to remember right now is that what's happening with interest rates, what's happening with the economy. You know, we're as real estate investors, we're moving, you know, full speed ahead, but a lot of homeowners are putting off building that new deck, renovating their bathroom, renovating their kitchen because of what's going on with the economy. That means there's a lot of contractors out there right now looking for work. I've had people call me in the last couple months who would normally be calling them. So there is the availability starting to loosen up a little bit. There are, and if you're out there advertising and looking for them, you will find them. This is our advertisement on LinkedIn. This is a free advertisement. We've gotten very little results from that. Basically the same ad. They wanted to, what was it, $400 a month for their advanced ad. I was like, no thank you. I'll just take your free ad and I'm not going to pay $400 a month for that. But so one of the things I do want to point out here, if I can figure out, it doesn't matter. My laser pointer. Uh-oh. Okay, well, we'll forget about the... Okay, so one of the things I wanted to point out on here, you'll notice on both that Craigslist ad and our LinkedIn ad, we say nothing about roofers, electricians, or plumbers, because those are specialty trades that need specialty insurance. So we're going to be looking for those people in different... Now, if a roofer, a plumber, electrician calls me off that ad, I'm not going to turn them away, but that's not really what I'm looking for on these ads. So screening the contractor. Now, hopefully I've given you guys some good ideas about how to find a contractor. We're going to talk about screening them. So now you found them, now what? Well, first off, you have to make contact with them. Sometimes your ICs can be a very skittish lot. So again, the people that I'm pulling off of Craigslist, people that are from my bandit signs, I find most of those people will text you. They will not call that number. They'll text you. And a lot of times their texts are kind of cryptic. Like they'll text back looking for work. Well, does that mean, am I looking for work? Are you looking for work? And then a lot of times you'll respond to them, so they'll text you. I never call them, so I always text them back, and I say, yeah, I'm looking for independent contractors. Do you do that kind of work? And then maybe it'll take 24 hours for them to respond to me. So I measure my responses to theirs. So if it took them 24 hours to get back to me, I'm going to wait 24 hours. I'm not going to respond to them immediately. I'm going to wait 24 hours. And then I'm going to ask their permission to call them, because the texting thing does not work for me. I'm not going to have a conversation with them over the text, because I want to find out. Well, here's what I want to find out. I don't know if you guys in the back of the room can read those, so I'll come up and read these. First question is, tell me about yourself. That's a really good question to start off with. Because sometimes when you ask that question, people are going to speak paragraphs to you. Other times it's like, well, I do carpentry work and that's it. So, you know, ask them to tell you about themselves. And then the next question, that question usually reveals a lot about your prospective independent contractor. During the phone screen, you'll want to be taking notes. Again, you're putting all these people in your Rolodex, and you're also grading them between 1 and 5, 1 being the best score. This is time well spent on the phone screen, believe me. It saves you a lot of time down the road. The ones that tell you they can build a house from the ground up, they can't. You can pretty much be guaranteed that. There'll be times when you can determine that your independent contractor you're talking to is absolutely not a good match for you or your business. You generally don't have to tell the person that. I always try to keep my, you know, not burn any bridges, keep the relationship open. But I'll just tell that person, hey, if you're looking for work, give me a call sometime. Or, hey, I've got someone to meet me right now, I got to go. You're welcome to call me. I leave it open on their end. You don't hear back from those folks, so you really don't have to tell them, hey, you suck, I'm not interested in you. Talk to them on the phone about their experience, how long they've been in business doing this type of work. Find out what their pet peeves are. You know, you may be talking to them on the phone, and they may tell you, I don't like working around anyone else. Well, what's that tell you? That tells you to put them in a house by themselves. Don't put them in a house where you've got a laborer or another contractor working there. Keep them by, there's no point in pissing them off from the get-go. Ask them what kind of tools they have, what kind of a set of tools they have. And of course, they'll all tell you, oh, I've got every kind of tool there is. Well, that we'll see how that one works out. Find out what their availability is. You know, perhaps they're working a full-time job already and they're looking for stuff on the weekends or on the side. Find out if they have general liability and workers' compensation insurance. Ask them if they work by themselves or they have a crew. That's a really important question because you need to make sure if they're bringing a crew with them that all their crew is covered by the insurance as well as they are. Find out the things that they do the best. Find out the things that they don't like doing or that they're not good at doing. If you ask them, how are you about installing doors, and they tell you, you know, I kind of suck. I can do all this other stuff, but I kind of suck it. I've never been good at putting a door in. Don't have them hang doors for you. Ask them if they like bidding on projects or they prefer working by the hour. By the way, did everybody fill out their survey?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so do you guys want to, do you want everyone to pass them to the middle aisle and then we'll collect them? If you guys can all pass them over to the middle. Make sure your names are on them so you can win that prize if you have the winning winner. So find out if they like bidding by the hour or if they like, if they like bidding on a job or working by the hour. And now's the time to feel what, you really need to find out whether they're bidding on jobs for you or working by the hour. I always want to know what they feel their hourly rate should be. That's a very important thing for me. Ask them if they're licensed. So if they're a plumber, if they're an electrician working on your property, you better make sure that they're licensed to do that. A handyman does not need a license in the state of Ohio. But again, if it's a plumber or electrician, you better make sure. Ask them to tell you about previous jobs they've done where things have gone wrong and how they resolved them. That's a really good question to ask people. Ask them if they have a list of references that they can provide to you. Ask them how they handle pulling permits. If they say, oh, well, the owner always pulls them for me, well, you know, this is all stuff you want to know. Know where they want to be on an hourly basis. I know I keep talking about this. Know how much they want, and then you'll know how much they want to make in a week. So if I find out that guy wants to make $30 an hour, but he wants to bid on projects, I know he's trying to make $1,200 in a 40-hour work week. That's really going to help me think about what his bids are. Ask him what they're looking for an hour. If that doesn't work, then kind of like take the soft approach and say, well, what are you currently making an hour? What do you normally make an hour? Sometimes their number fits in with your budget. Sometimes it's just way too high. I talked to a guy last week off the Craigslist ad, and he told me that he has some tools. He's been doing this for a couple of years, and he wants $40 an hour. I said, well, for someone in your situation, we're usually in the $18 to $20 an hour range. So if you're interested in that, great. If you're not, we're probably not a good fit for each other. Again, try to keep every exchange positive. Even if it's not going to work out for you, try to keep it positive. And then the last line on that is sometimes just getting the work done is your highest priority, right? Sometimes, you know, when you're down to the deadline, you don't care what you're paying, you just need to get that project done. We talked about the hourly rate. If they're telling you, if they don't tell you what they want to make an hour, you're not going to know how to take bids from them. I mean, to me, it's very important to know, again, even if that guy's going to bid on everything, what his hourly rate, what he thinks, you know, does he think he's worth $30 an hour? Does she think she's worth, you know, $40 an hour? That's an important thing for me to know. So keep working that softly till you get it. That way you know what, again, if you know what they're looking to make an hour, you know what they're looking to make an hour a week, and you can keep them happy. That phone screen usually lasts 20 minutes to half an hour. At the end of it, you should know if your independent contractor is a good match for what you're doing or not. So after you get done your in-phone screen, then it's time to talk to them about in person. So it all sounds good. Let's move forward. Ask them if they'd like to come to your job site, where you can too meet in person. They can see the projects you have. They can fill out the paperwork you need filled out, which we're going to talk about all that. And then they can start at a later date. Or if they want to come to work that day, I'm fine with that. Maybe that's not a comfort zone for you, but I have no problem with that. They can start that day as far as I'm concerned. They need to fill out all their paperwork first. If they want to work by the hour, that's cool. We can get started by the hour as long as I'm comfortable with their hourly rate. If they want to bid on the work, I'm going to give them a real small bid to start with. I'm going to ask them to bid on two projects that I figure will take at least 4 hours for each project. And then if things go south, I'm not out that badly. I'm not going to ask them to bid on 2 weeks of work at our first meeting. So hiring contractors. Now I know this is in the presentation or in the presentation, hiring contractors. I never call hiring. I call it engaging the services. I don't want it ever to be. I don't want an independent contractor ever to be confused with an employee. So what do we need? We need an independent contractor agreed out, filled out and signed. We need the W-9 filled out and signed. So you know there's people out there who are good independent contractors who literally cannot read. I don't want to embarrass those persons, but I'm going to ask them, would you like to read this document or would you like me to read it to you? I don't ask them, can you read? I just give them the opportunity because I want to make sure they understand what they're signing. It's going to help us out in our relationship, and that's going to help me out down the road legally. So this is our independent contractor agreement. So it's in between my LLC and the client. I'm sorry you can't see the top of that. I'm not sure why. And the client, that's me, and the independent contractor. So either they're just going to have their name up there, or maybe they're going to have an LLC or an LTD they're doing business under. You'll find both of those. So the insurance, I want them to have at least $1 million GL insurance with $2 million general aggregate for themselves, their employees, all others, for incurring loss or injury due to the acts of independent contractors, its employees, subcontractors, in connection with their agreement. They're going to provide me with a certificate of general liability insurance, naming my LLC as additional insured prior to beginning work. They're going to hold me harmless for any property damage, bodily injury that they have or may cause. In no way will I be responsible for the independent contractor for injuries or for their employees' injuries. They're going to provide workers' compensation coverage for themselves and any employees they bring on the job. I will not be providing any workers' compensation coverage, health, general liability, or any other type of insurance to the independent contractor. Independent contractors must provide all needed insurance that he or she deems necessary. Yes, sir.
You go verify the workers' comp.
I absolutely do. We talked about that earlier, that they're going to have their card that shows that they have workers, and that's going to have their ID, their workers' comp ID number on there, and you can call that 800 number and verify that insurance is in place. So independent contractor it's going to provide defense and indemnity to the client but only in respect for liability and body injury, property damage, and personal and advertising injury caused in part by the independent contractor. Are there acts or omissions? Are the acts or omissions on those working on the independent contractor's behalf? To the fullest extent permitted by applicable law, a waiver of subrogation. Waiver of subrogation means that their insurance company cannot come back and sue me for something that happened on the job. So there, so that's what insurance companies do. They look to recover their losses, so that waiver of subrogation means that their insurance company can't come and sue me. That's an important thing to have in there. It shall be added to the general liability and the workers' compensation in favor of me in respect to all projects during the policy term. Independent contractors warranting their work under the agreement so it's completed in a timely and work person-like manner, meeting or exceeding the standards for similar work in clients' community and our region will comply with all applicable building codes and requirement. Contractor will remedy at no cost to the client any defective work for up to 6 months after completion of the work. This agreement will terminate at will or in the event of an uncured material breach as described below. So if either party violate the agreement, then they have 10 days. The party who violates the agreement has 10 days to cure that. If they don't cure it in 10 days, then the agreement's terminated. And the independent contractor is entitled to full compensation for the work completed prior to the termination date. And then the independent contractor is going to put, if they have an LLC and an EIN, well, they will have an EIN, employee identification number, if they're an LLC, they're going to put that there. If they don't have an LLC, they're going to put their social security number there. So neither the client or the independent contractor is allowed to delegate, transfer, or assign to a third party without written consent of the other. Did you guys get that all? And then it's a mutually agreeable, and then any changes to that document needs to have written mutual consent of both parties. It's governed by the state of Ohio. It's going to be ruled on in the state of Ohio. The prevailing party will win reasonable attorney's fees. Signing a copy of the agreement, either physical or electronic, will have the same effect as the original. So I'm going to sign it, date it. They're going to print their name. They're going to sign it and date it. And by the way, when you're signing stuff for your LLC, whether it's for a property, whether it's this agreement, whatever it is, you should never be signing as member. You should be signing as manager, right? Because we don't own anything, right? We're just managing things. That's asset protection. That's another class for another day. But all right, paperwork. So you've got an agreement by the independent contractor to work for you for the week of on a specific project to perform improvements on the property located at. Or you've got a bid from them. We'll take example. We'll look at example of these two things. On the bid, they're being compensated amount of to be paid under the terms of at the property located at for you or your LLC. So let's talk about you and your LLC for a minute. You should be doing this entire business in an LLC. I know there's people out there that are doing it in their personal name. So if you're doing it in the personal name, when you fill out these forms, everything needs to be in your personal name. If it's Steve Jones, but they're indemnifying, that's what needs to be indemnified. But the bottom line is it should be your LLC. It should be Let's Get It Done LLC, and your personal name should never appear in there, except for where you're signing as manager of the LLC. So this is an example of a bid sheet. This is a bid sheet to work by the hour. So we have the date of the contract, we have the location of the, the contract is between my LLC and this individual. Then maybe they don't have an LLC. If they do, that name's going there. Doing DBA, doing business as. They're gonna work at 123 Easy Street. The work's gonna be again on 1017, it's gonna end on 1021. I'm not requiring any liquidated damages on this. We'll talk about that in a second. The contract work will be the contract work to be completed is 32 hours of general improvement on Easy Street. The payment for that work will be on 1021. The independent contractor will supply all tools needed to complete the improvements. Client's not going to supply anything. And then we signed that independent contractor agreement we just looked at on August 14th. That's going to, we're going to work under the terms of that. They're going to refer to our scope of work. We'll look at the scope of work in a minute, which they signed on 10-14 also, and the agreement was signed at this date. So we're both going to sign. Yes, sir. What time is it?
I'm divided to 32 hours.
Time? Go ahead. So this is an example of someone working by the hour. When? Attorney, thank you. This is an example of someone working by the hour. So we want, in the eyes of the law, we want this to be an independent contractor, not an employee, right? So we don't want this person confused with an employee. So we're actually having them assign a contract to work 32 hours that week for us. That's one more separation as it being an independent contractor, not an employee. So this is a bid. Now, this is Paul the painter. He's doing business as Paul's Painting LLC. And Paul's agreeing to do all these things on this list. I do have liquidated damage. Did I answer your question?
Kind of.
Okay, go ahead.
I like how you put these. You agree, presumably, with the contractor on the number of hours it's going to take to
yes.
do the work. Now, what happens if he comes back and says, oh, it took me 40 hours to do
that? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute because we're tracking his time. Okay, so this is a bid sheet here. Paul the painter is agreeing to do this work. Items, I think it's 1-8. Paul the painter is agreeing to complete the work by 10:30 of 22. If he doesn't, $100 a day is coming off his bid for liquidated damage. You all understand liquidated damages, right? So Paul needs to keep going. And you notice in each one of these things, like item 8 up there, I'm specifying the paint that he's going to use to paint the bathroom walls. That's Behr Premium Plus 7050 interior satin enamel, ultra pure white, non-tinted paint. So I'm being very specific. Now, I'm the client, and I'm supplying all caulk and paint needed on the project. So that paint bucket's going to be there. It's going to be clearly marked where it is, so there's no mistaking. That's the paint he's using to paint the bathroom and the kitchen with. The stuff he's using to paint the rest of the house is going to be Ghost Ship, which is somewhere in there. He's going to do that work for $1,075. The Friday of the week that the work is completed, after a successful walkthrough, is when he gets paid. So we pay every Friday for the work you did that week. So we're going to, like on a job like this, where he should be able to knock that out in a week, there's going to be no draws. If it's a month-long job, we're going to break the job down into four draws where they can get paid every Friday. Yes, ma'am.
To make sure I'm clear, did you actually buy the supplies or he's going to be buying that?
I bought the supplies. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute because that could be an issue with the IRS, but we're going to talk about that. Was that your question?
My question?
Yeah. So, and then we also signed that independent contract with Paul on July 21st, and he also looked at our scope of work and signed it on 10-21. And the client down here says client will be available on the phone or in person for any additional clarity. And then I'm asking Paul the painter to list all the people he's bringing on the job site with him, because why am I doing that? I want to know if those people are independent contractors. I'm asking them over there what they are. Are they independent contractors? Are they employees? You know, if they're independent contractors, I need to see their GL policy for anybody. He's bringing his brother on the job with him, whoever it is. If they're employees, I need to make sure they have workers' compensation coverage. So we're going to sign that. That's our contract to do one week of work. I keep all these blanks in my truck. It's just a matter of filling them out. Okay, this is our emergency contact page. So I'm very careful to keep this separate from my independent contractor agreement. This is a page that does not have my name on it anywhere. It does not have my LLC's name on it. It's just my emergency. Why do I want to know that? I had a gentleman working for me earlier this summer. He was painting the eaves up on a porch. He disturbs the beehive. He jumps off his ladder and he goes to me. Good thing I didn't get stung by one of those bees, because I would have had to be in the hospital in 10 minutes getting a shot, or I would have gone into epileptic shock. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me that right now, John. That's something you might want to have told me before you got up on that ladder and started messing with where bees probably live. You know, so I want to know about that. I want to know. So I'm asking, probably maybe you folks in the back of the room can't see up there. So I'm asking for his name up there. I'm asking for his phone number. I'm asking for his emergency contact. I'm asking for two emergency contacts, two emergency contact phone numbers. I'm asking for any allergies he might have that we need to be aware of, and I'm asking for any medical conditions that he or she might have that we need to be aware of. And there's another reason for that. If he or she has pre-existing conditions, we want to know about that. If they come back and say, oh, well, I injured my back on my job, well, that's funny because you listed that you had a bad back on your medical sheet. Again, this is separate from everything else. It doesn't have our name on it. I don't want ever that independent contractor to a chance to be that to be misconstrued with an employee. So managing your contractors, it takes being presence. It takes, you got to be there. If you're not on your job site a couple times a day, you're mismanaging your property. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are contrary to that. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, work less hard, make more money. You know, that whole thing. I don't agree with that. I think if I'm paying someone hundreds of dollars a day to work on my property, I need to be there. So I do a lot of work myself. I have my truck, I have my trailer, I have all my tools, I have all my equipment. So I talked before about spreading them out. I'll generally spread out the contractors. My dad always said, you have one boy working, you get a day's work done. You have two boys working, you get a half a day's work done. You have three boys working, you get nothing done. There's a lot of truth to that. So I generally spread them out. I probably have like three or four projects. Now these are all within blocks of each other, so it's not, the commute's not hard, but I'll generally have three or four projects going, and I try to keep this contractor at this house, this one over here, and this one over here, and I will have, as general contractor, I will have different projects I'm doing that's going to be on the scope of work. I'm doing that stuff, and so I will be stopping in to do that stuff. I'm not going to be like right up your, you know, right on top of you, but I am going to be looking at what you're doing and making sure that we're not making a mistake that I can't correct because it's been 2 days since I've been at the project. With that said, if you want to grow your business, you must learn to delegate. That's all there is to it. So this is our house inspection. This is one we did for a duplex. So this is a 4-page Excel document. By the way, if any of you want my documents, I'm not ashamed to come over to my table. Give me your email address. I'll send you my documents. I have no problem sending you my documents. I will go back to that disclaimer. You better have your lawyer look at them. Vina mentioned, I'm not trying to do a shameless plug, but I sell Legal Shield. Legal Shield is the one who's reviewed all these documents for me. I send them documents constantly to review, so they've been reviewed. But this is my property checklist. This is when I'm going to purchase a property. Again, this is like a 4-page Excel document. And it shows everything that needs to be done to the house. So this helps me develop my scope of work when it's time to go to work. This is my scope of work. Up top, I talk about my requirements for the job. Again, call Jeff if you have any questions. Don't paint the unpainted trim. Let's do the work in a smart and sequential manner. And then you'll notice, so there's three columns on that sheet. First column is for the area of the house. I usually start off the attic and go down to the basement, then go outside. The middle column is for the work to be done. The right column is for the trade that will do that work. I don't know how well you can see that, but each one of those trades is color-coded. So the labor knows what color they are. The carpenter knows what color. The plumber, the painter knows what color they are. And because it's in Excel, you can sort those by any of those three columns. So if you want to sort it by area of the house, if you want to sort it by who's doing it, like sort everything in one, you know, up at top of who the labor's doing. This just continues with it. And again, we're very specific about what paint we're using to paint the ceilings. Once you guys get a picture of that, we'll move on. What time is it, Jackie?
9:42.
Thank you. Again, the whole house. Kitchen, we're painting the ceiling in that same. We use the Valspire 2000 to paint the ceilings with. Painting the walls with Ultra Pure White in the kitchen. The basement, and then moving on to the outside. And again, you'll see over on the right-hand side, they've already been assigned to what trade is doing that job. So again, we may have three or four contractors working at any time. We have a labor working, a carpenter working, a plaster and a painter, you know, maybe a plumber. Okay, the paperwork you need. You need to be named on your independent contractor's general liability policy as an additional insured. There's a couple reasons for this. This gives you additional coverage, plus the insurance company is supposed to do this anyhow, but if that GL provides you with a general liability insurance policy that they opened yesterday and then they cancel it a day later, you want to know if you're listed as additional insured, the insurance company has to send you documentation that that insurance has been canceled, because otherwise you won't know.
So basically, if somebody has a general liability policy, but if you are not named as the additional insured, then it's no use. You
can be insured without being named as additional insured. Additional insured, if they're, your name's going to be on there whether you're additional insured or not. Their name's going to be on there, the insurance company names. We're going to show you certificate of insurance in a second, but much better to be named as additional insured. Lost payee, a lot of people get confused with lost payee. Lost payee's not something that needs to be on there. That's for rental situations. So most, I talked before about the different trades, so plumbers, electricians, roofers, people working about, well, we'll talk about that. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. But so your handyman, your average person working on your house will need what the insurance company calls a handyman policy. Again, you want $1 million, $2 million, as well as our workers' compensation insurance. Oh, so if your independent contractor is a plumber, a roofer, electrician, if they're working above the first floor outside, they're going to need a trade-specific policy. That handy person policy will not cover them. So that's going to vary insurance company to insurance company, but if you're hiring a plumber or electrician, they're going to need to have a different, you need to make sure they have a policy for the work they're actually doing. What do you need to be covered? You need to have liability insurance on the house yourself. Don't ever own a house without having liability insurance. That's what keeps you from losing everything. So my rule on liability insurance, my liability insurance for 123 Easy Street, my rule is $1 million insurance and then have an umbrella policy that gives you $2 to $5 million of umbrella coverage. That umbrella policy covers all the properties you own, everything you do in your life. If you get the right insurance agent, it will cover everything you do in your life. So have that $1 million on the house, and then somewhere between $2 to $5 million umbrella. If you don't know what an umbrella policy is or a personal umbrella policy is, go talk to your insurance agent. Something you need to have. Check with your insurance agents about limits for your liability coverage. We already talked about you or your LLC, so we'll skip that line again. Remember, you should be doing this work as an LLC, not as an individual. But whoever owns the property is whose name needs to be. If the property's owned in your name, your name needs to be on all these documents. That's who we're covering. That's who we're protecting. You need workers' comp insurance. Call the Workers' Comp Bureau if they don't already have it in place. There's an example of a certificate of insurance. Shows up top of the insurance company. It shows the next box down is showing the contractor who's being insured. Down here, it's showing who's having the work done for them. You guys should all be familiar with the certificate of insurance. All right, so there's three ways to compensate your contractor for working on the job: getting bids, paying them by the hour, doing an equity share. Upside of getting bids is you know what the bids, what the job's going to cost prior to the work being done. Helps you out budgeting. You don't have to track the hours of the independent contractor. You won't be paying an equity share out. Downsides, you must have a strict contract with change of order provision. So if someone's in there doing work and you think they're putting a new floor, but then when they rip up the floor, the old floor, to put a new one in, they find that the floor joists have rot in them, you decide you need to put in a new floor joist, that's a change order. That changes everything. Don't think they're doing that for the same price, and also don't allow them to bill you by the hour for doing that. If they're doing bid work, you need a change order to change that. If you don't understand what change order is, you need to figure that out. That's a very important thing. Have a detailed scope of work so all your bids are apples to apples. It may not come easy for your independent contractor to bid on jobs. I don't know if I talk about this later, but we'll talk about it right now. What I'll do with a lot of my independent contractors, particularly the ones I'm building, is I will do what I call soft bids for them. So I'll say to Paul the painter, I need the upstairs and the downstairs walls of this house painted. The trim's already painted. The ceilings are already painted. All you have to do is paint the walls with Ghost Ship and then cut into the trim. What will you charge me to do that? Well, Paul's going to tell me, oh, well, how long will that take you to do that, Paul? Paul will say, well, it'll take me a week. And I'll be like, what? And he said, well, he says, is that one coat or two? It's one coat. We're using Behr Premium Blush. It's one coat paint. He goes, well, eh. And I say to him, Paul, if I were doing the job, I would knock it out in 10 hours. I can tell you, I could paint the upstairs and the downstairs of the three-bedroom house in 10 hours. I've done enough of them that I know. And Paul will say, yeah, 10 and a half hours. So I know that Paul wants to make $30 an hour. We talked about that before. So then I say, Paul, I will pay you $300 to paint the upstairs and the downstairs. Paul says, yeah. We signed the bid contract. He's off and working. If it takes him 15 hours, that's on Paul. But I did the bid for him. We have a bid, but I did the bid for him. So the upside of having someone work by the hour, you're paying a set hourly rate you negotiated. If you don't like how things are going, if you don't like how that contractor's doing the work, or they think that it's all screwed up, you can stop it right now and say, you know what, Steve, I know I told you to do this, but something just came up. I need you to go do this instead. So instead of you being under contract for a bid to do that work, you're doing it by the hour. And then you don't have to analyze bids to figure out if they're fair or not. So you may not be good at, you know, he tells you, well, I want $1,200 to do this, and you're scratching your head, well, is $1,200 a good deal or a bad deal? Upside of working by the hour, if you're working with a highly efficient independent contractor, it's going to be a great deal for both of you. If that independent contractor in an 8-hour shift blows out a ton of work, he's happy with the hourly rate, maybe you're paying him 25, you're happy. Your independent contractor may prefer to work by the hour. They may not want to do the bids. And then when that unexpected glitch comes up, you don't have to do a change order. So you guys judging your, have you guys judged your, have you guys, everybody's turned their forms in? And the judges have judged? So the downside of working by the hour is you must track their hours. A lot of times independent contractors won't fudge their hours. Well, what time did you get here, Ralph? Oh, I got here at 9 o'clock. Well, you know damn well he got there at 9:18. Well, did you take any breaks today? No, I didn't take any breaks. Well, you know damn well he's a smoker, and every 45 minutes he goes outside and smokes a cigarette, because we don't allow smoking cigarettes in the house. And if you're taking 10 cigarette breaks today, I am not paying for that. I don't know about you all, but I'm not paying for that. As far as the IRS is concerned, your independent contractor may appear a little bit less like an independent contractor if you're paying them by the hour. This is our time sheet. I think you'd asked that question before. So we have 5 different people working on here, when they started, what break they took, when they finished, their total hours. If they're working by the hour, we get them to initial it at the end of the day. So at the end of the week, we don't have any arguments about what they did. And then finally over here is they're working at 123 Easy Street, you know, what they did. That's the column, what they did in that day. So this helps us learn how to bid jobs better. When we track this over a period of time, you know, laying a new living room floor that was 400 square feet, we start to learn, if we're tracking this properly, how long it takes to lay a 400 square foot living room floor. Equity share, that's like if you're doing a flip, you can tell that independent contractor, listen, I'm expecting to make $40,000 off this. For this scope of work I'm giving you, I will share 1/4 of that with you if you get all this work done. A little bit of a more advanced strategy. Okay, so we're going to talk about the difference between employees and independent contractors. This is a very important thing to know the difference between, because they will come after you if you're misclassifying your worker. So on a W-2, the company's withholding taxes, Medicaid, they're paying vacation times, contributing to retirement account, they're scheduling the hours 9 to 5, company provides all the tools and materials needed, company provides workman's comp insurance and medical insurance, you send out W-2 at the end of the year. On a 1099, on an independent contractor, they're working for themselves. They are not working for your company. They're contracting with your company. You're not withholding any taxes. You're not providing any insurance. Any insurance They'll be providing their own insurance, they'll be bringing their own tools, they're providing their own materials. You'll send them a 1099 at the end of the year. Now, I did say, I'll address this now, I did say that I provide some materials for the job. I do feel that is something that's a gray area with IRS. I do feel like I'm getting those materials on a bulk price. Also, I don't want my independent contractor to be spending an hour or two at Lowe's every day picking up the materials for the job when I already have them. So that's a gray area you got to figure out for yourself. Okay, W-2 person is under the discretion of the supervision. They have to show up regular schedule. They require training. Matter of fact, the employee is legally responsible to provide certain types of training. Independent contractor, you assign them the jobs. They do them as they see fit, in the sequence they see fit, as long as that meets your standards for the work being done. They get to come and go as they want. You can't tell them you'd be here at 9 o'clock. We tell them, thank you. We tell them, you know, you show up when you want. You know, here's the work, here's the lockbox, here's the code for the lockbox. Come get the work done. We are not allowed to tell them when to come or go. Matter of fact, we tell them that all the time. We have problems with that because I have some guys, gals that work for us that say, well, if you told me I had to be here at 9 o'clock, I would be here. Otherwise, I didn't show up today. Well, I can't tell you that. W-2 employee fills out an application. They require 10 company meetings. We must provide the PPE, the personal protective equipment, the safety gear for them. They're subject to the rules and obligations of the employer. Independent contractor bids on a specific job. They provide their own PPE. And within reason, they get to work in the manner they want. Now, if they're working in an unsafe manner and they're endangering other people on the job or people walking by the job, I am going to say something to them about that. I'm not going to let them endanger other people. On a W-2 employee, you're providing workman's comp insurance for your employees. You're responsible for any job-related injuries. Independent contractor, however, is not covered by you. They need to have their own coverage. They need to have general liability and workman's comp insurance. Oh, and all their crew needs to have it too, but we've already talked about that, so we got to keep moving here. Okay, so the IRS, and you can look this up online. If you bring up IRS 20-point checklist for independent contractors, you will find this list. Mistakenly misclassifying an independent contractor can result in significant fines or penalties. So there's 20 factors the IRS uses to determine this. If you can answer yes to the first four questions, you have an independent contractor. If questions 5 through 20, you can answer yes to, that's an employee. And well, those are color-coded for that. So there's the first four. Can they work for, are they going to suffer a profit or loss from working for you? An employee is not going to suffer profit or loss. They're going to be paid by the hour. Do they have an investment in equipment, materials, facilities? Do they work for more than one firm? Are their services offered to the general public? In other words, they're not at your beck and call. Those all make them an independent contractor. 5 through 20 make them not. Do you give them instructions? Do you give them training? Are they integrated into your company? Must they provide services to you personally, or can they delegate their employee to go do those services? Do they hire assistants? Do you have a continuing relationship? Do you set the workers' hours? Must the person work full-time for you? Does the work need to be on your premises? Obviously, if it's an independent working on your property, they've got to be at your premises. That's kind of a no-brainer. And then do you have the right to sequence the order of work they do? These are all things that make them an employee, pay schedules. Do you pay the worker by the hour, by the week, or the month? Independent contractors are generally paid by the job or the commission, although by industry practice, some are paid by the hour. Do you pay expenses for travel or business? You don't pay that to your independent contractor. Do you provide tools and equipment and materials? Can you fire? You can fire a worker. You can't fire an independent contractor. You have to, or you have a legal obligation to fill that contract you have with them. Does a worker have a right to quit? An independent contractor who quits on you has a legal obligation to complete that contract. Now wait, there's more. So guess what? This just came out. The Department of Labor has proposed a change to these rules. Now they want to turn them into 6 rules. These are the 6 things that this just came out. Department of Labor, Biden administration wants to make it the classification more stringent that they're independent contractor, not employee. Anybody's paying attention to the news has seen this in the last week or two. By the way, you all need to go over to the AREA table and sign up for Muster. That's our digital advocacy platform. And that's where we get to tell the Congress, the U.S. President, the Ohio State House, and the local legislation how we feel about laws. It's an email campaign we send out. All you have to do is go over there and take a picture of the QR code, and then you go and you sign up. This will help us all. Please sign up for Muster. We're going to be fighting this one. KGL's guys get that? Okay, so the reward for a week of good work. So we normally take our independent contractors out for lunch on Friday. We take them all out for lunch. We either buy subs, whatever. We ask them what they want. Or we go to the Chinese buffet. But we get everyone together to sit down for a meal. You know, we say, okay, we're taking an hour break. It's just a reward for being there all week, and you got to do something for them. It's a bonding time for us. It's a relationship building time. That's what we do. So firing contractors. It's rare that you ever need to fire an independent contractor. If you don't like what the independent contractor is doing for you, and you kind of tell them, and you've told them once or twice, and you're like, look, you need to improve their performance here. This isn't going so well. They'll generally just fade away. It's pretty rare that you ever have to say, I'm never going to use you again. Again, we're building relationships here, not burning bridges. Happy, positive people. That's what we want to be, right? We don't want negativity on our jobs. So if it's that person that's not working out for you, generally they'll just disappear on their own. But you do need to make sure that your independent contractor signs off weekly on your mechanics lien waiver. This is a very important thing. This is done on payday just prior to them getting paid. I always say to them, if you don't so much mind, would you sign this document for me? Any work you do for us from Saturday to Friday, you get paid that Friday. We write you a company check. We make this very clear. It's a company check you're getting written, and you're getting written for any bids you did for us in that period or any hourly work you did for us in that period. And then prior to them getting handed that check, we'll generally write the check out. And then prior to them getting handed, we want them to sign off on this. And I apologize. I thought these documents were going to come out bigger. But it says, Steve the Painter, independent contractor of 421 Contractor Lane Alliance of Ohio, is providing services and are providing materials to Get It Right LLC under agreement dated 10/24/22 to repair plaster drywall installation, plaster drywall finishing, and general improvements at properties. If you don't know what to say, if you have a labor and they're doing a bunch of just stuff, just say general improvements. That's a catch-all phrase that's legally acceptable to catch whatever they're doing. General improvements. At the property 123 Easy Street, property owned by Get It Right LLC, and this is very important, independent contractor in consideration of receiving $1,121.56. You need to put in the amount they were paid for providing labor and our materials provided, releases the property and all improvements located at the property from any and all liens, rights, claims, statutory or otherwise, that the independent contractor may have for reason of providing labor and our materials for the property or improvements located at the property, but only for such labor and materials furnished to 1021, or 1031. They're not signing off for anything they do for us, they're just signing off to the end of that day when they're getting their paycheck for that work. So we're making this fair for both parties. We're not trying to make these lopsided agreements. Independent contractor acknowledges that this lien releases the independent contractor rights under the laws of the state of Ohio and acknowledges that the execution of the waiver is the independent contractor's voluntary act and deed. Make sure you get these signed every Friday. You never know when they don't come back on Monday. Yes, sir.
Jeff, you're updating this information in there every payday.
Every pay, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I have all these blanks in my truck. I'm the GC, I'm out on the job. It only takes a minute to fill in. Like, these are blanks. So I did these typewritten for easier vision, but they get filled in usually with a pen. Yeah, I mean, well, what's the other option? So it's very easy. So there's some mistakes about a mechanics lien. So there's a process for posting a mechanics lien, very similar to like a 30-day notice you would post for your resident. it has to be posted on the property. They have to go through these whole procedures. A lot of independent contractors skip that whole thing, and they just go directly to the county records, Bureau of Record. I'm not coming up with the right name. Not the, the recorder, thank you. The county's recorder's office, and they record a mechanics lien against you. And then you've got to fight it. Having this document kind of solves that whole thing. So I just keep looking for them. I can't find them. Maybe you need to rethink how and where you're looking. So summary, the contractors are out there. You must sort through to find the best ones. It will take effort and creativity to find the best ones. I hope I've provided you guys with some things to go after, to think about, some ways to do things maybe a little bit differently. And most importantly is the legal documents. Having that independent contractor is actually an independent contractor and never being confused as being an employee is really important for you and your business. Having them sign that independent contractor agreement, having them sign that waiver of liens, having them sign that scope of work, all that stuff that we talked about here is so important. You always need to be looking even when you don't need them. You must have a daily presence on your job. We talked about all these things. There's an awful lot. Again, there's no silver bullet. There's an awful lot in getting it right. This is not one of those. I mean, I wing some things in my life, believe me. But this is not one of those wing it things. Okay, so thank you guys. So you had a question, Jack?
Yeah, more and more contractors are expecting the use of Zelle and other apps. They pay on the phone. And they won't even do work if you won't pay them like that. How do you handle getting around that?
I've never had anyone ask me to pay them on Zelle.
Really?
But I guess if they did, all my tenants pay me on Zelle. Well, not all of them, but a vast majority of them. But if they did, I guess I would figure it out. I mean, again, it's about as long as it's not hurting me any. They're going to sign my document. They're going to sign my waiver first. We're going to agree on the total. Just one second.
Require bonding.
So bonding is the same thing as insurance, basically. Only on a commercial project would I be worried about bonding.
Not on residential.
Not on residential.
It's been a contractor agreement. How big a contract, dollar-wise, do you actually put one of those into play?
Anybody does any work for me. If you come and clean my house for me and you're going to charge me $100 to clean the house because you're going to be there for 5 hours, you're signing that agreement. I've got a whole folder of these. My wife keeps them copied for me. We've got like the plastic folders that hold the different things. They're all on my valise. Anybody that ever comes to work with me before you do an inch of work is signing an independent contractor agreement and they're filling out a 1099 form. I never know, because that 1099 form, that's the information you're going to, W-9 form, the information on that W-9 form is the information you're going to use to send them a 1099 at the end of the year.
What about drug and alcohol testing?
I do not do that. I don't find a need to it. Again, I'm on the job site. If someone's, I don't deal with people who drink. I mean, maybe they're out there smoking a little bit. I don't know. I'm not going to allow that, but I'm also not testing for it. You can only do so much. I mean, if that's in your comfort zone, I would do it. I have a hard enough time finding people who work, and then I'm going to say, hey, you need to go down to the clinic. And there's always ways to spoof those also. So that's my answer. It may not be the right one. Yes, ma'am.
I took a quick presentation. Thank you.
Thank
you. Responding contractors have been struggling to get, appropriate, let's put it that way. Now taking folks who have a background of drugs and things of that nature.
We do look that up. Jackie looks that up on the county website to see what they've got there. If it's pretty egregious, I'm probably not going to work with that person. But for the most part, that's not going to.
So two quick questions, kind of on the heels of the last few. I talked to a guy that he actually recruits people that are in 12 steps recovery because he said they're like the most honest people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're really motivated to live a clean life, be sober, be productive. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, that's, again, we one of our biggest ways of finding contractors is building our own contractors. We want to help people out. We want to help people out, and we want to get them in a situation where they have a healthy life going forward. So absolutely.
So that's, logistically, though, how does that work? Do you go to the local Methodist church?
No, I just advertise. I've asked a couple times. I have not had much success with that. The person has to be highly, if you're in a drug house or in a homeless shelter, that person has to be highly motivated to come out of that lifestyle and join a healthy lifestyle with you. So I want to see them. I don't want to go ask them. I want them to come ask me. I want them to be highly motivated.
And then second question, totally fine if you can't. Can I email you for those slides?
No, I don't give away the slides. You can email me for documents. Yes, absolutely. Come visit my table, get my business card, legal shield right there. Yes, ma'am.
What about trade schools? I've heard of people like...
Absolutely, trade schools, yep. High schools, colleges, absolutely. That's a good source. We have not had much success in our community, but that doesn't mean you won't in yours. Absolutely.
Do you ever work with anybody, and to call them contractors is probably an overstatement. They're more like a dude with a hammer.
No, again, that guy is filling out my bid to work hourly for me. And hopefully over time, that guy or gal is going to learn more and more skills. And this is what I'm talking about, building your own contractor. He, she is going to need to get workers' compensation insurance. He, she is going to need to get general liability insurance. He, she is going to need to build up his or her toolbox. And hopefully build tools over a period of time.
That's what I'm talking about. These
kind of
guys are...
Yeah. Well, again, you've got to use your judgment on this. There's going to be ones that you're going to pass on right away after your phone conversation with them. There's going to be ones you get on the job, and it's not going to be what you expect, and you're going to move on for those people. So you've got to, again, this is something that you've got to work constantly.
Do you have any documents on equity sharing?
I do. I don't know if I'm sharing those, but I do. I mean, look up... Look up Sam's. Look up Sam. Shared. I'm sorry. I'm mortgage. Look up Sam. That's how you do a mortgage with. You know, like if you're putting the money into a flip and the other person's doing all the work. Yes, sir.
Quick question. So going back to the firing, the ICs. How do you control for security? Right, because you're giving all of your contractors the codes to get in.
So yes, we are, but we don't keep anything in houses. I usually load materials. I don't like leaving anything in houses, and we make a big show about taking everything out of the house at the end of the night. And then while I'm making sure, that's the other problem is, we're gonna draw this right now as soon as I answer this question, and I can answer any questions after that. But anytime like contractors working in your house, a lot of times I'll open the windows. Oh, it's dusty in here. Well, they don't close the windows. So at the end of the day, I go through the house, make sure all the windows are locked, make sure all the doors are locked, all the deadbolts are locked. I've had contractors just leave houses wide open. I don't leave 5-gallon buckets of paint in there. I don't leave materials in there. I've never had a problem with that. There is things like Simply Safe where you can do, you know, a security system if that's a concern in your community. It's never been. I've only had one house ever broken into in the last 10 years, so I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Can I get your email one last time?
Can you write
your email one last time? Okay.
And let's go ahead and do we have a winner, Lila?
Yes, we do.
Okay. You're gonna make me read it.
Yes, I am.
So the winner is Mike Putman. We have a Mike Putman in the room? All right, Mike, you need to go and get up with Sarah. And what's Mike tell us? Mike says word of mouth, other investors, and contractors. And then on how you retain, you pay fairly, and you have good communication. Did we determine how many people like bids and how many people like hourly?
Yep.
Okay, so thank you.
And hourly's.
Okay, so looks like we had 75 surveys filled out. 57 of you said you want the contractor to bid on the job.
72.
72 said that? I'm sorry. So how many do we have total?
72, 76.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's start this again. So 76 of you responded. 72 said you want to bid. 4 of you said you want to buy the hour. So vastly want to bid. Do we have any last questions? Thank you, guys. And you need to catch up with Sarah for your tickets. Thanks, guys.